Chapter 12. Rec. Number 3 Iscariot Jmanuel Sunanda. Wednesday, August 9, 1989, 3 p.m. Year 2, Day 358. Faith, Healing and Truth. In all the places where Jmanuel went the infirm followed, many blind people came for word of his healing had gone far and wide. Thus as they traveled into Jericho, there were many blind ones in the crowds. As Jmanuel and his disciples entered into the city, two blind persons sat by the wayside. And when they heard Jmanuel passing by, they screamed and said, O Lord, Son of a Celestial Son, have mercy on us! But the people threatened them so that they would be silent. But they implored even louder and pleaded, O Lord, Son of a Celestial Son, have mercy on us! Jmanuel stopped and stood still, then called to them, and said, What do you want me to do for you? They responded and said, Lord, that our eyes be opened and we can see the beauty of this world. Jmanuel had pity for them and asked, What do you believe? Whose power is it which can make you see? They said, The power of the creation which is in the laws. Jmanuel was astonished and said, Verily, so far I have never seen such faith and knowledge among these people. Be it done to you as you believe. And he touched their eyes and soon they had vision and got up and followed him. As they traveled along on their way, Jmanuel taught the people most candidly, saying, Verily, verily I say to you, if you are knowledgeable in spirit and embrace wisdom, and if you have faith in the truth and do not doubt, you will not only do such things with blind eyes, but when you say to the fig tree it should dry up, then it will dry up, or, when you say to the mountain lift you up and throw me into the sea, it will come to pass, for you are knowledgeable in the truth of wisdom, so that your spirit will become totally powerful. When you are knowledgeable and live in the truth of wisdom, your spirit will be filled with infinite power. And then, everything that you command or ask for in prayer, when you believe it, you will receive. Do not believe, however, that prayer is necessary, for you will also receive without prayer if your spirit is trained through wisdom. Do not make the mistake and believe in the false teachings that man has a will, for this belief is incorrect. Know then, whatever man wants to attempt, he is obligated at all times to first create a will for this or that, because this is the law of nature. Thus man determines the course of his life, which is called fate. But it is such that he must acquire the knowledge and learn wisdom, so that from this he creates a will which is then within the law of nature. Consider yourselves as people who live in order to learn and to perfect the spirit. For you are born for the obligation of becoming perfect in spirit. Do not worry about the future, when the false teaching is spread, that man would have to perfect himself in spirit another time because he has fallen away from the creation. Beware false teachings. Each spirit in man is a unit, so is the creation in itself a unit, and has no other powers besides it. In itself, the creation is pure spirit and therefore is infinite power, for it is one with itself, and nothing exists outside of it. Therefore, beware of the false and adulterated teachings of the future, which will insult me by calling me the son of the creation, and also as the son of God. For these teachings lead to lies, and because of them the world will suffer much want and distress. Do not pay heed to the false teachings of the future, which are trying to make into one the spirit, the creation, and me, and making a trinity thereof, which again shall be a unit. Beware of these false and adulterated teachings of the future, for a trinity is impossible according to the logical laws of the creation, there is only one. Verily I say to you, the princes keep their people down, and the sovereigns do violence unto them. But when they use violence, the new cults will do violence when they adulterate my teachings and proceed to disperse them. Beware of them, and do not carry the yoke of the false teachings because of force. It shall not be so among you, but you shall be great and teach the wisdom. As I have come to teach the wisdom and knowledge among the people, so you shall continue to teach, so the truth may penetrate. Into Jerusalem on the donkey. When they came near Jerusalem, to Bethpage, near the Mount of Olives, Jmanuel sent out two of his disciples and said to them, Go to the place which lies before you, and you will find a female donkey tied to a post and a foal with her. Untie her and bring her to me, for she was a gift to me and is only encamped there. And if anyone asks you a question as to why you are taking the animal, say to them, Jmanuel of Nazareth needs her. Soon they will let you take her. The disciples went forth and did as instructed, and they returned with the female donkey and the foal, and they put their clothes on its back, and Jmanuel sat thereon. When the people heard that Jmanuel, the king of wisdom, would come, they spread their clothes on the path, and others cut off branches from the trees and spread them out on the path. The people who went ahead of him and those who followed him screamed and said, Hail to the descendants of David! Praise to him who comes and publicizes the new teaching. When they entered into Jerusalem, the whole city was excited and said, Who is it that comes? But the people said, That is Jmanuel, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee, who brings a new teaching of wisdom. Purging of the Temple. In Jerusalem, Jmanuel went into the temple, and when he saw what was taking place, he became furious. There were dealers, salespeople, merchants dealing with doves, and many money changers who had established themselves therein. He shouted at them in a loud voice, "It is written, the temple is to be a place of teaching, a place of contemplation. But change it into a den for thieves." In his anger, he kicked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of the dealers of doves and drove them all out with the whip of a donkey driver. Then he allowed the blind and the lame to come to him in the temple, and he healed them, all who came. When the high priests and scribes saw the great deeds he accomplished, and the people who were screaming in the temple saying, "Hail to the descendants of David," they became extremely agitated. They shouted at him, "Do you hear what they are saying?" But Jmanuel said to them, "Are you so afraid of the truth that the truth annoys you?" He immediately left them there in the temple and left the city and went to Bethany and stayed there overnight. By whose authority? When Jmanuel again came into the temple and taught, the high priests, scribes, and the elders of the people came to him and asked, "With what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you the power?" Jmanuel angrily responded, "I too want to ask you a word, and if you answer that question, I will tell you from where the power originates that allows me to do these things." "From where was the baptism of John? Was it through the creation or through people?" And they pondered the question and discussed it among themselves. "If we say it was through the creation, then he will say, 'Then why do you not believe in it, and why aren't you following the laws?' But if we say it was through men, we will have to be afraid of the people, for they consider John a prophet." The parable of two sons. So, they answered Jmanuel, saying, "We don't know." Thereupon he said to them, "You generation of vipers, so I will not tell you by whose power I do these things. But what do you think? A man had two sons and went to the first one and said, 'My son, go and work today in the vineyard.' But he answered and said, 'Yes, father, I will go.' Yet he did not go. So he went to the other son and said, 'My son, go and work today in the vineyard.' But the second son answered and said, 'I don't want to do it, and therefore I will not go.' But soon afterwards he felt remorse and went into the vineyard and worked. Now I ask you, which of the two did the will of the father?" They said, "The latter, of course." But Jmanuel rebuked them, "Verily, verily I say to you, the publicans and prostitutes will perceive the wisdom of knowledge before you do. John and the prophets came to you and taught you the right way, and you did not believe them, but the publicans and the prostitutes believed them. And even though you saw it, you did not repent or change your mind, so that you would have afterwards also believed the truth. You know the truth, and yet you deny it, so that you would profit thereby in terms of gold, silver, and goods, and that you thereby get rich at the expense of the poor, whom you have led astray." The parable of the vine dressers. But listen to another parable about a vineyard, and perhaps you will understand it if your mind is not cracked. There was a lord who owned much. He planted a vineyard and built a fence around it. He dug a wine press therein, built a tower, and leased it all to vine dressers. He then left the country. When the time came that the grapes were ripe, he sent his servants to the vine dressers so that they would receive the grapes. The vine dressers took the servants. One was beaten, one was killed outright, and the third one they stoned to death. Again the lord sent other servants, more than the first time, and they, too, were all killed. At last he sent the son of the administrator to them, for he was sure the vine dressers would fear the administrator's son. But when the vine dressers saw the son of the administrator, they spoke among themselves, "This is the heir, come let us kill him and take his inheritance." They took him from the vineyard and killed him, or so they thought. And while deeming him dead, put him in a tomb where he was in a state of semi-death for some 3 days and 3 nights and then fled, and the son arose and returned to the lord of the vineyard. But when the lord of the vineyard heard of what had happened to the son of the administrator, what do you think he did? They responded, "He would probably have the villains killed and turn his vineyard over to other vinedressers who would give him the fruits at the right time. He most certainly must have turned over the legacy to the son of the administrator at an early date." Jmanuel spoke, "You recognize the meaning, and that is what you have read in the scriptures. The stone that the builders threw away became the cornerstone. Therefore I tell you, I am as the son of administrator of the vineyard. My teachings are not strange to you and are very well known, for they have already been given to you by the prophets, and you know them thereof. But if you disregard them and interpret them to your own advantage, that is, accuse me of lying, you thus accuse God of lying. It was upon God's advice that I was created by one of his kind, and because of whom I am a prophet here before you now. Therefore I say to you, peace and joy shall be taken away from you and also from your people, for all times, and they shall be given to a people which brings forth its fruits. Penalty of disregarding the laws of God. If you disregard and kick with your feet all the laws of God who is the ruler over this, and the two other human races in the north and in the east, you shall be disregarded and kicked with feet for all time to come. The burden of the Jews will be like a heavy stone of the seven great ages. And he who falls upon this stone will be shattered, but upon whomever it falls, he will be pulverized into dust. When the high priests and Pharisees heard his speeches, they understood that they would be cursed, and all those ones who followed of their false teachings, for all time to come. And they deliberated as to how they might seize him, but they were afraid of the people, for the people believed Jemanuel to be a prophet. When the Pharisees held counsel with each other as to how they would catch Jemanuel in his speech, they sent to him their followers and the people of Herod. "Give unto Caesar," they taunted. "Lord, we know that you are true and that you teach the law properly, and do not consider the rank of a person, because you do not pay tribute to people but only to the laws of God and to truth, and to the laws of the creation. Therefore tell us your opinion, is it right to pay tax unto Caesar, or is it not?" Jemanuel was aware of their maliciousness and said, "You hypocrites, of what low mentality you are! To want to aggravate me in such a foolish manner? Show me a tax coin so that I can heal you from your sick stupidity." And they gave him a coin. He then said to them, "Whose image and inscription is on this coin?" They responded, "It is that of the emperor." So he answered them, "Therefore, give to Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and give to God the things which are God's. But beware and know that God and the emperor are people above whom is the almighty creation to which you are to give the highest praise. For even though God and the emperor are rulers over the human race and the people, the creation, as the highest power, is above them, upon whose laws they are dependent." Whereupon, they listened with astonishment and left Jemanuel alone. A lesson for the Sadducees. On the same day the Sadducees, who do not believe in rebirth, came up to Jemanuel and asked him, "Master, Moses has said, when a man dies and has no children, his brother should take the widow as his wife and should beget descendants for his brother. Now there were among us seven brothers. The first one married and died, and because he had no descendants he left his wife to his brother. And so did the second, the third, until the seventh, and at last the woman died after all of them. Now you tell us there is a new life. Whose wife will she be among the seven in a new life?" All of them had her as a wife. But Jemanuel answered and said, "You are mistaken and do not know the unadulterated scriptures of the elders, nor do you know the laws of the creation. Verily I say to you, Moses never gave this law but gave the law that a brother should take his brother's wife to himself, in honor, so if one died the other would take care of the widow of his brother. How could it be that a brother could beget for his brother descendants, since everyone's seed is different? But in new life one decides for himself whom he wishes to marry, if he wishes to marry, which is not certain. Take heed of the laws of the creation which teaches that in a new life man does not remember the former life, which makes your question superfluous. At this point it is only the prophets who remember the former life, since they follow the laws of the creation and therefore live in wisdom. Since you and the Jewish people will live in spiritual darkness for an extended period, perception and wisdom of spirit will remain hidden for a very long period of time. Other peoples will be advanced and developed spiritually to a very high degree and follow the laws of the creation. There will also be many, many more who will not follow the true teaching and they will be as you. Therefore, other peoples will be superior to you in spirit, for they will gather great wisdom and grow abundantly in spirit and will, therefore, have among them those who will be like the prophets and remember former life spans in their life streams. You of Israel and the other ones without truth and wisdom shall remain in spiritual poverty and drift in spiritual darkness, inasmuch as they incurred punishment, they shall have to endure it." When the people heard these words they were shocked and afraid and fell into silence. Then it came to pass that the Pharisees heard that Jemanuel had shut the mouths of the Sadducees, so they held a meeting where they would take counsel. Greatest commandment? One among them, a scribe, taunted Jemanuel and asked, "Which one is the greatest of commandments in the law?" He spoke and replied, "Whose law are you speaking about? Are you asking about the law of the emperor or are you thinking about the law of God, or are you thinking about the law of the creation?" The scribe replied, "I am asking of the laws of all three." Jemanuel responded, "The highest commandment in the law of the creation is, achieve the wisdom of knowledge inasmuch as this will enable you to wisely follow the laws of the creation. The highest commandment of the law of God is, you shall honor God as the ruler of the three human races and follow his laws for he is the king of wisdom of the three human races. But the highest command of the laws of the emperor is, you shall be subject to the emperor and follow his laws and give to him a tenth, for he is ruler over the people. These are the noblest and greatest laws of the three, determined according to their type. But the other one is this, and equal to the first, you shall consider as omnipotent the creation alone, for it alone is constant and infinite. For God and the emperor are temporal, but the creation is eternal. These two commandments include the entire law of the prophets. The laws of God and the emperor are human laws and meant to rule men in orderly and righteous manner, but the laws of the creation are the laws of life and spirit and are therefore eternal and constant. Likewise is the spirit of man immortal, for how could the creation itself ever cease to be? If a person is dead in the physical, the spirit lives on, and leaves this existence for the one beyond, where it continues to gather the wisdom of knowledge. According to the amount of spiritual wisdom gained, he himself decides his future and his return, as well as his activity later on in his experience. Since I too am a prophet and know the future, I tell you that I shall return as a representative of God, so that I can sit in judgment of all those who follow false teachings and belittle the wisdom of spirit. Whose son am I? But when the Pharisees were together, Jemanuel asked them and said, What do you think, whose son am I? They answered, The son of David. He retorted, How can I be the son of David? He has been dead for a very long period of time, and I have been begotten by Gabriel, the guardian angel. You do not even remember your own stories. Further, haven't you read or heard that David called me Lord when he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit down at my right side so that I can place your enemies under your feet, for you are my stepson and my successor. So, since David calls me Lord, how can I be his son? No one could give him an answer, and they said secretly, He blasphemes God and the prophets. Let us contemplate how to arrest him and condemn him that he be executed, for he endangers our very positions, and we shall no longer be respected by the people if we do not rid ourselves of this man. Beware of scribes and Pharisees. Shmanuel then turned to the people and the disciples and said, The scribes and the Pharisees sit on the chairs of the prophets. Everything they say, however, you refrain from doing and keep not their rules and do not act according to their works. They teach you false teachings which they and their predecessors have falsified that they might profit therefrom. They contrive of heavy burdens that they might place them upon the shoulders of the people, but they themselves will not want to lift a finger in production or works. Any labor that they do is done in the impressing of others. They enlarge their prayer belts as well as the tassels on their clothing. They love to sit in the best places at the tables and within the synagogues. They love to be greeted at the marketplace and to be called master by the people. Do not allow anyone to call you a master until you have perceived the wisdom of knowledge. Neither let anyone call you teacher until you follow the laws of the creation. For he who allows others to call him master and teacher, who does not have the wisdom of knowledge, will be denounced as a liar. He who will undeservedly exalt himself will be abased, and he who undeservedly abases himself will be esteemed lightly. Let him who is great in spirit consider himself great, and him who is small in spirit consider himself small, and he who is middling in spirit consider himself middling. It is stupid and unwise if a man lets others consider him greater or smaller than he is. Beware, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites who block spiritual progress for the people, you will not attain it easily, and you keep it from those who wish to attain it because of false teachings and the power of your man-made laws. You hypocrites devour the homes of the widows and devote long prayers for the sake of appearance. Therefore, you shall stay in spiritual darkness all the longer for your foolishness. Woe unto you hypocrites who pass through lands, countries, and seas in order to win a follower for Judaism, and after one has become a Jew, you turn him into an irrational and unreasonable child that is serving false teachings in a twofold manner, as do you, and oeth is of no substance. Woe unto you, you blind leaders of false teachings who say, If a person swears by the temple, that does not count, but if a person swears by the gold on the temple, that binds him. You fools and blinded ones, you are the offspring of evil. Why do you let people swear knowing that an oath is not binding and is a worthless act? How can you say that if a person swears by the altar, that does not count, but if a person swears through sacrifice, that is binding? You blind and false teachers, who gave you the right to demand an oath or to swear, since the laws of the creation state that oaths should not be given? Your speech should always be yes or no. Therefore, he who swears by anything on earth or the universe, swears by something fleeting, which is without any substance. And therefore, an oath is of no substance either. Therefore, he who swears by anything commits a crime with respect to the truth of his word and makes it doubtful. Woe unto you, you blind leaders of a horde of blind who say, This should be done and that should not be left undone, since you represent a false teaching. Woe unto you who increase tenfold mint, marami, dill, and caraway seed, and consider least important the most important in the law, namely, the right to freedom and knowledge and the truth of the creation. You are foolish and blind leaders. You are mosquitoes and swallow camels which you cannot digest. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites who keep cups and bowls outwardly clean, yet inside they are full of rapaciousness and greed. First you must purify that which is inside the cup so that what is on the outside also becomes, and remains, pure. So you, too, appear godly and good in front of people, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and falsehood and violations. Woe unto you hypocrites who build tombs for the prophets and adorn the graves of the just and speak, if we had been at the time of our fathers, we would not have become guilty with them, in the shedding of the prophets' blood. Woe to you hypocrites who secretly call the dead from the common people and talk with them and believe them, but they only speak of that which they already thought wrongly during their lifetime. You are not great enough to call upon the dead who have some wisdom, and tell of the truth. You give testimony to yourself that you are the children of those people who killed the prophets and falsified their teachings. Therefore, you fulfill the measure of your fathers, since you end your life without understanding, and you will have trouble learning in the future. You generation of vipers, how can you be great in spirit without having any understanding? All the just blood which was shed through you, on earth, will come back to you, beginning with the first prophet whom your fathers and forefathers murdered, to the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom you have killed between the temple and the altar, and therefore, all the blood of the future which will be shed will be of your accountability. Verily, verily I say to you, all this shall come upon you, and upon your race, for a very long time yet to come and pass. Prophecies of the End Days. As Jemmanuel walked from the temple, the disciples wanted to show him the building in which the temple was built. But he spoke to them. Do you not see all this? Verily I say to you, not one stone here will remain upon the other without being broken. For the Jews trespass against life and the truth, and they built this city on the blood of people. They plundered this land through rapaciousness and murder, and killed their friends with whom they drank wine. Thus they betrayed their own friends and murdered them, because of their greediness. Likewise it shall be done unto them. Later, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him and requested, Tell us, when will this happen and what will be the sign? But Jemmanuel answered and said, See to it that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name and say, I am Jemmanuel. And they will lead great numbers of ones astray. People will hear about wars and war cries, they shall see and not be startled. This is what must happen, but that is not yet the end. Because people will rise against one another and one kingdom against another, and there will be times of great need and earthquakes and great floods all about the lands. This is the beginning of great calamities and great cataclysms. Soon the people with the knowledge will be surrendered to grief and many will be killed. They will be hated for the sake of truth in their teaching and for their wisdom. Many kinds of cults will rise up against one another, and much blood will flow and many hearts and spirits will be broken. Many will succumb as a result of these conflicts, and will betray one another, and will hate one another because they remain small in spirit. Because there will be lack of faith, love will become cold and deadened in many, many people. Hatred will rule over all the world and evil will reign for a long period of time. But he who persists in the truth will survive. This lesson will be preached throughout the entire world as testimony for all peoples, and then the end will come, when the word of truth has gone forth throughout the total of the lands. When the people will see the horror of destruction in Jerusalem and the lands thereabout, of which the prophets have already spoken, then the end will come. When this happens, whoever is at that time in the land of Judea should flee to the mountains. He who is on the roof should not come down from it to get anything from out of his house. He who is in the field should not come back in order to get his coat or any other of his possessions. O woe to the women in this place, who are pregnant and those who are suckling their babes at that time, for they shall suffer much grief and death. There will be multitudes. There will follow great grief as has never been before since the beginning of the world until now, and also never will be again. And if these days were not shortened, no man would remain alive. But the days will be shortened for the sake of the spirit and wisdom, and for the sake of people who serve the truth and the laws. There shall be untold gnashing and chattering of teeth and great mourning and screaming when this time comes, because of man's lack of understanding and because of his greed. There shall be machines made from metal for use in the air, on the waters and on land, to kill one another in great masses. They shall throw heavy projectiles out of these machines made of metal and they shall strike the cities throughout the lands. Fire will come out of these projectiles and burn the world so that hardly anything will survive and that which does survive will not long be spared. They will put the cornerstones of life itself into the projectiles in order to kindle the deadly fires. And if at that time the celestial suns would not appear in order to bring it to a standstill, verily I tell you, not one person would survive upon the face of earth. Since the human race will, at that time, number at least 10 times 500 million people, two parts thereof will be destroyed and killed. When at that point someone will say to the people, "Behold, here is Jmanuel," they shall not believe it, because many false Jmanuels and false prophets will rise up and do great signs and wonders, so that if it were possible, also even the wise and knowing would be misled. "Behold, I told you so before." Therefore, when they shall say, "He is in the desert," man shall not go out, and behold, "He is in a chamber," they shall not believe. Since I will most certainly return at that point in time, I will let them recognize me. This is how the law is written, and thus shall it be. 4. As lightning starts with a rise and radiates until its setting, thus will be my coming among the heavenly hosts with whom I shall have my renewed life at that time. Men of all times, beware, wherever the carcass is there, the vultures will gather, so beware of them. Soon after the grief of that time, sun and moon will no longer radiate, and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will become shaky. The structure of the heavens will be disturbed because of the senselessly erupted power of men who will be living in greed, power, and addiction. There will then appear a sign in the sky. And then all the generations on earth will cry and will see the celestial suns coming in the clouds of the sky, and they are of great power, and will judge harshly against senselessness. Since God is the ruler over the three human races, he therefore will judge them through his representatives. Man owes God his creation, and God is the ruler over him, so that he has to follow his commandments and respect him as the greatest king of wisdom. He will send forth his guardian angels with loud trumpets and will gather his followers from the four winds, from one end of the earth unto the other end. Blessed ones, learn a parable from the fig tree. When its branch begins to have leaves and they are coming out, you know that summer is near. Likewise, the people at that time, when they see all of this, they will know that it is close at hand. Verily, verily I say to you, this is how it will be. And this human race will not pass until all of this has come about. Heaven and earth will pass, and the universe also, but my words will not pass, for they are words of truth within the laws of the creation. No one knows of the day nor hour that all this will happen, nor do the guardian angels of God, nor I, Jmanuel, but God alone, who has the greatest wisdom, knows. He is the ruler over these human races, and to him is due honor and praise, and he, too, owes honor and praise unto the creation which is above all. So be it, if man reveres and honors God and recognizes only the creation as the supreme power, he thereby acts rightly in truth. Let us draw this to a close for this session. I treasure you for your service. It is wondrous to sit with the Master, Sananda, and know that he has grown into his perfection, and allow these things to be put to paper in mine own words, so that the record is set to straight. I am humble in mine gratitude. I take my leave. I am Judas Iscariot. I am that I am. I am Sananda Jmanuel, that my seal be placed on the truth of these writings. So be it, and Sela. Blessings and peace be unto you ones in this time of great stress, for I am never from you. Adonai.